Are we back?
Becca.
Folks.
We're back.
We're so
boom,
back.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right, shall we get into it?
Get Up Insider. The best movie of 2023.
Best picture, for sure. Did it win best picture?
What
one?
I don't think they've done it yet.
The Oscars?
I don't know.
No,
I don't
watch any of that shit. All right.
I ain't got time for. Yeah, well, you know me. If I'm talking, I'm probably yelling.
Your mic is real hot.
Yeah, so's the rest of me. It's not any hotter than normal.
It's like popping in my ear. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I'll double check, but I'm not going. Oh, my hair tie just stopped. Oh, no, it's still good. No, if anything, it's lower than normal. So I don't know what's going on for you. Turn me down in Discord.
I don't know. I did.
Did that help?
No.
Then that doesn't make any sense. And it's clearly not me. Go fuck yourself.
Okay.
Shout out to my surgeon who listens to the podcast. I don't know if she listens all the time, but your surgery
allowed me. Is this all in? Have we started?
Yeah, we're anything. As soon as we're recording, I could take any part of that to make you look stupid online.
I don't need you to make me.
Yeah, I know you don't, but I like to help. I don't want you to do all the labor.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Invisible labor.
I'm so thoughtful.
Yeah. Women respecting women.
Yeah, so we're back. We are.
We're so back.
Some things did happen while we were away.
Oh, really?
Just like,
well,
here and there.
I feel like I should go first because mine's probably less exciting.
I mean,
we can end it. We started a bummer. We'll end on a high note.
Okay. I don't know if anything we do is ever that good that it's a high note, but it's a less bum note. Yeah.
It's fine at best. It's fine at best.
That sounds accurate, sure.
So the reason why we haven't recorded in a very long time, there's a few reasons. The first of which being David and I called off our wedding.
What?
Slash our whole relationship. And it was a bummer. It's been a bummer. That happened the very beginning of December. It is now almost March. So took a few months to recuperate and hit reset on, you know, my whole entire life.
Can we tell them how you told me that it had happened, though?
So it happened, yeah.
It was a Friday.
Nothing happened. Like, for starters, nothing happened. Nobody did anything. It was just the relationship reached an end, and it just so happened that we were engaged. It just ended, and better to have ended before getting married, obviously, but also better to have ended, you know, when we're still on good terms and, you know, there's no real ill will. It just wasn't working. We tried our darndest and it just wasn't going to work. So before anybody gets upset,
only we are allowed to be mad at David, and mostly me because of the living situation.
Yeah, well, yeah. So David and I were supposed to move to San Francisco after our wedding, which was supposed to be in June.
Yeah,
and now
was.
I have signed a lease on an apartment in Denver, and I'm staying here for the foreseeable future, which I'm excited about. Jess is not excited about.
I'll kill you.
We've reached an impasse. She's smiling as she says.
Wait, no, but you have to tell them the message you sent me when
I'm telling. I'm telling.
Okay.
I'm getting there.
I need
there.
Them to hear because it's very funny.
I texted Jess. It was a Friday afternoon. It'd just been like we went for a walk and then we sat down on our kitchen counter and had this conversation, and that was just kind of, that was it. So I texted Jess. I was like, we have something more in common now than we did before. We have both called off a wedding.
No, you said we both have failed engagements.
She goes, what?
What? So I was in a meeting and with another of the managers on my team, Lokesh, and I was like, sorry, I'm a little bit distracted. My best friend just said her wedding was called off. And he's like, oh my God, do we need to stop this meeting? I was like, no, she's an idiot. We'll get, there's a 50% chance it's a joke. So I said, let's finish the call and then I'll text her.
That was the risk. That is the risk, let me tell you, when you are a chronic bullshitter, is that when you are genuinely experiencing something traumatic, most people think you're joking.
They're like, bet, okay.
They're like, this is a bit.
No, when I came out to my mom, I've told you, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but when I came out to my mom, like I showed up dressed nice. I look nice. And she was like, is this like one of your jokes? Is this like a thing you're doing for laughs? And I was like, just this once? No. But I appreciate that our brand is so strong, you and I.
Yeah.
Because my mom asked the same thing. She was asking somebody around like, is this a real thing? Or are you guys like doing a joke? Is this something for the podcast? And I was like, this one's real.
Called off my wedding for the plot. I'm going to take Kimmy's collar off because she's just wandering around.
And I could hear it in the recording. Yeah. It's the jingles. Ominous. Oh, she's so naked.
There, she's naked. She's just sitting right next to me. Right. For people who, for all of the audio listeners, which is everyone, because we don't film
for
this.
For now. So far. I mean, maybe. Unless.
My desk now, I got a one bedroom apartment. My desk is right next to my bed. And she has realized that she can just stand on the bed next to me. And just be here, and it genuinely looks like she's got something to say to the microphone.
She tried to call me. Becca tried to call me earlier. She like Cammy tried to call me. No, Becca tried to call me, and I couldn't answer because I was in a meeting. But then she sent me a screenshot that was like, "We need to talk about your performance, please."
And it was Cammy.
It was just Cammy and her staring at the camera. It's so funny.
So yeah, that's what she's doing right now. She's just watching me. I already fed you. You're fine. So yeah, it was really hard. It was like, I sort of put my head in the sand for 2 months, I would say all of December and January. I haven't like told many people because, well, I mean, I made like a close friends Instagram thing that just, I just kind of picked and chose people that I wanted to tell, but, it sucks. It's there's no good way to say it. I went to San Francisco for 2 weeks.
It's true.
With Jess. It was nice to do that in the immediate aftermath because it was like I was just at a point where I couldn't be in that house. There was just too much and I needed to not be in a situation where I needed to like think about basic things of like taking care of my space. Like I needed to just be somewhere else. So did that for 2 weeks and then spent the rest of December packing up my stuff at the old house. January was just dealing with moving. I moved into a new apartment in downtown. I now live right across the street from my friend Katie, which has been great. I moved into one of the adult dorm buildings that we have talked
about.
I think we
joked about it in the episode.
In the last episode.
One, or the one just before. Like we were like, wow, that'd be great. Too bad that'll never happen for me. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really nice apartment. It's got like a gym and everything, but it was really hard. And I didn't feel like coming back and doing this because I didn't want to have to talk about it. And I knew I would know when I was ready, but I needed to kind of feel all my feelings first. And oh boy, did I.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I wish you hadn't. I kept sending you podcasts tonight, Queen. And you were like, I'll kill you, which is our love language.
If people need to know about my mental space during those 2 months, I rewatched Ted Lasso twice from beginning to end. Twice.
Okay, and but you sang in my jazz band. That was a positive. That you tell them about having to sing Blue Christmas like
oh my God.
A week after the breakup.
Less than a week after. So the breakup happened on a Friday. I flew to SF on a Monday. This was, I think, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday's jazz band.
And I went, I hadn't left Jess's apartment other than to do a walk, I think. And Jess was like, come with me to jazz band. I was like, okay, I don't know if I'll be up for like doing anything. I'll just come and hang out. I get there. The band leader is immediately like, heard you dumped that boyfriend. And I was like, actually, he left me. And she was like, good riddance, am I right? And they're like, and I was like, I don't know.
I'm not ready to like process it yet.
It's just more sad than anything else.
Here's the other side of that, though, is I had told people that we have a Discord for the band
to talk
about. And I had said specifically, Becca's coming to band because I had asked them first. And I was like, don't ask her about the breakup. She doesn't want to talk about it. I said, she's got a dog that we love. Ask her about the dog. And so, and like,
immediately, the first person who came up and introduced themselves to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first person. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit. Because I felt bad. Because then you were basically trapped there for like 2 hours.
And then I was in a bad headspace for that, like, for that time. I went, well, I started having fun once the piano player was like an hour late and I, this is traffic. And so I just hopped on and played piano for a couple songs. And that was fun. I was like, oh, okay, I'm comfortable with this. I can do this.
That's what I wanted you to do, was to do music and not think about
it. Well, and then the piano player showed up, so then I was back to sitting there. And then the band leader was like, we want you to sing. Do you want to sing Blue Christmas? And I just blurt, no. there's like 25 people in this room. I just go, no.
Could you imagine? But here's the thing. You got up later and sang it anyway.
I did. They made me. It was fine.
And no, you sounded good. You sounded all the stuff you
said. I disassociated. Just fully left my body. But yeah, it was very hard, and I knew I would know when I was ready to come back to do this. And I'm at a point now where I'm just kind of excited. I think, like, even though nothing was like bad in the relationship, it was very much a situation where like things had felt off for a very long time, and I chose to deal with that by not talking to anybody about it. Not talking to, like, my friends had no idea. You really had no idea. But like I hadn't talked to anybody about it because I didn't want to admit that anything was wrong, because nobody wants to be planning a wedding and be like, I don't know.
Like, I've done it twice, so, you know, normal stuff. If I planned a wedding and everything went well, I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
And so I kind of spent the last year like just with, I think, with my emotions in part turned off. Like, I think I pushed down any bad feelings, any good feeling. Like, I think I really dampened my feelings in just in general and kind of pulled away out of protection. And I've spent the last 3 months feeling fucking everything. It's been a time. The good, the bad. I think, like, my highs are higher, my lows are lower, and it's all part of life. It's all good. But yeah, I will say, if you're just learning about this from this podcast episode, please don't reach out to talk to me about it, because I'm at the point where I feel like I've healed. I feel like I'm in a good place, and it's not fun to talk about. So,
and
I
yet,
don't
it,
want
you
to have
brought it up on the fucking podcast. Jesus
well,
Christ.
It felt like it needed to be discussed. I mean, if somebody's going through the same thing, I think that's different than like somebody from work learning about it from the podcast and DMing me on Slack and being like, oh my
hey,
God,
I just
like,
heard
this is me telling you to not do that, please, thank you.
Hopefully they didn't pause the podcast. I do need to tell you, so yeah. Jen and I did a walk just before this, and she said to me, you know what would be funny is if you had a post and we're gonna read it, and it was like, I talk through the situation and be like, am I the asshole asking for a friend? And I was like, that would be hilarious. I'm not gonna do that. But it would be it would be very funny.
Yeah, no. I really don't wanna air any dirty laundry. I don't wanna put any bad vibes into the world.
Oh, then you probably should like stop.
Just not.
Yeah, like instead of do, don't.
Yeah, but if you know David, please don't like think any less of him. I don't want that energy. I don't want that bad vibes. I'm at a good spot. I'm feeling good. I got a lot going on. I've learned that my coping mechanism now is to just do a lot of things, and that has been good. I signed up for a half marathon that is taking place on what was going to be my wedding day on June 1st. So I've been training for that. My last breakup that I went through, I did a full marathon because I was not in a good mental place, and that was like, I went all in on that, and it was a method of avoidance. Like that breakup, that period of my life, it was very much like I would go to work, I would come home, on my way home I would buy a bottle of wine, I would get home, look at my running schedule, see, okay, I gotta go run like 5-6 miles, go do that, come home, drink a bottle of wine, eat a pizza, and then fall asleep on the couch. And that was my life. And that was like my, I used running at that time as like a, okay, I can't, I have no room and no energy to think about anything else because all I have time to do is run. And then you come home and you're exhausted.
But this then is my very friendship been, saved you.
Well, what happened then was the race happened, that marathon happened, and then I kept living that way, except minus the running. And so then, because I Oops. Didn't actually process anything, I just pushed it all away. And so then I had to, it was like an extended, you know, it's like I had to deal with it all over again, because I didn't have that distraction anymore. This has very much been like an addition to my life. First of all, half marathon, a lot chiller. You have to run a lot less miles per week to train for
Would
half
you
marathon.
Say it's roughly half the amount as the full, like if you had just ballpark? You're a data scientist, yeah, but I don't yeah. need that level. I just need yeah. like where you at.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably about half. Oh half the level of exertion.
Wow,
yeah.
That sounds way easier. By half.
Yeah. And so I've been, my building as a gym, that has been, I can't think of one thing in my life that has ever been such an immediate add to my well-being as having a, like, living in a building that has a gym in it. Like, wow.
Not your
wow.
friends, not your dog.
Obviously, my friends.
No, you just said you can't
I'm
think
talking
of one
about
thing.
External
You're
factors.
Real inside your head for this episode. I'm not even going to get
you
to any stories.
You are yelling.
I'm not yelling. I'm talking at a normal volume for me.
Which is yelling.
Okay. To you.
Ma'am. Ma'am. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. You're going to have to bear with me because my whole apartment is one room now. So you're just going to hear a dog.
Yeah. I don't. I can't believe you don't have any walls. It is so weird when you go use the bathroom.
You want me to lock her in the bathroom?
No, I was making a joke as if your apartment didn't have walls, and so you're just on the toilet in the middle of a cube.
Yep. So I'm training for a half marathon. I start culinary school this weekend. I'm doing weekend culinary school. It's 5 weeks. It's every weekend. I'm
Heard chef.
Very excited.
You have not very finished the bear yet, that. Though. So are you actually ready for this?
Am I ready for culinary school?
The bear.
Am I ready for week one, knives 101, if I haven't finished the bear? So I'm really excited for that. I love cooking. And so it'll just be nice to, I've never like learned the fundamental stuff. Like how do you whip up a good sauce? And right, like I've always just kind of cooked very intuitively. And so I'm excited to learn some foundational stuff. I think will be very fun. And also just to have a weekly thing that has the same people every week. I think that will be exciting. I think when you're in a long relationship, especially when you're living with someone, it can be hard, especially when you're an introvert, to convince yourself to like put yourself in situations where you're going to be meeting new people because you're like, well, I have this person and I'm fine, right? And so I've been pushing myself to do more stuff where I'm like, okay, I'm going to be getting out of the house. I'm going to be seeing new people and like seeing this regular group of people. So I'm very excited for that. And then I've been doing vocal lessons, singing lessons every 2 weeks through, it's like with a teacher and it's through an org that like has bands and stuff. And they will, you know, if you want to slot in and do a gig, they have like an infrastructure for that. So I'm very excited for that and see where that goes. I think that's about it. Yeah. My birthday's next week. So
yeah, who cares? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 24 whatever. Is not really an important year because, like, you still have to pay extra for car insurance rentals. You're still in your parents' insurance. Like, you're basically not
I'm
going
to be
person.
28. I hate to tell you this. Yeah. Basically.
It's a problematic
dead.
Age gap between where I thought you were and where you actually are.
I tell people, like, some of my friends get very stressed about, you know, being in our late 20s. One of my friends is turning 30 this year. And I'm like, I feel like I've been 34 for 15 years. So every year that I get closer to that age, I just feel more and more correct. Like, this is how old I'm supposed to be.
We've done it. Yeah, yeah, I've never worried that much about getting old, I think. But I think a lot of that is because I'm not perceived as almost 40 by most people, right? And like I don't live like I'm almost 40. Like the ideas I had about people who were my age when I was younger, I don't line up with that, and I'm fine. I'm very happy with my life, so.
Yeah. I don't either. I mean, to be completely honest, I remember being in college, and at the time, I had been dating the same guy for 3 years in college, and I had pictured my whole 20s being like, we're going to graduate, we're going to get married, and we're going to have kids, and
trad that's going to be, shit.
It's like, boom, boom, boom. And so I really thought by 28, that was going to be my life, and I'm so glad that it didn't turn out that way, because it would have just been bad. But I don't know. I feel very good about that, and I feel the same way. I think something just fell from my cable holder. And I always like people that I meet that don't act their age. I think especially the older you get. Like my vocal coach, she's in her late 50s, and her personality is not that of a woman in her late 50s. Like, she's very silly. She's very, yeah, like, when I told her, it was my first lesson, and she asked how old I was, and I was like, I'm gonna turn 28 soon. And she was like, 28 is a great year. That's, like, the best year. And I was like, it better be, because 27, my wedding got called off. And she looked me dead in the eyes, and she goes, congratulations.
How come no one said
and
that?
And I laughed.
Did you say that to me when Nate and I broke up? You must have. You must have been like, great.
No, but I laughed when she said that, and she was like, no, I genuinely mean that, because the alternative is marrying someone that you're not meant to be with. And I was like, that is so true. Like, that's so true. Even when it is sad, even when it's nobody's fault, it's like, well, if the alternative is we went along with this knowing that we didn't want to. So it's only good news. But yeah, I feel good about turning 28, I feel good about where things are at, and I've been working out every day, been meal prepping, now I'm doing a podcast. I'm basically like a 35-year-old white man. I like,
and that's today's sponsor, 35-year-old white men. 35-year-old white men may not be for you. Consult your doctor.
They may not be. Yeah.
I mean, so I feel like you've been doing okay.
Yeah, that's this
you
month.
You call me a lot more, which is not great. We did play. We started playing Minecraft, which Becca gave up after a week, so that was good.
I didn't give up on it. Like, we just haven't. You've been busy. What the fuck?
Wow, you put a lot on me. Why don't you take accountability for your actions? When will you learn?
When will you learn? Your actions have consequences. So that's what's been going on with me. I'm good. I don't want people to worry. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I think things are going as they should, and I'm in a good place. So
okay.
What about you? What's been fair enough? What's been up with you?
Well, something pretty big happened last month.
Oh my god, what was it?
I bought a whole lot of SpaghettiOs. And so I've been eating a ton of SpaghettiOs lately. All right. And that takes us to our break. Oh, wait. So I think we had talked about it on here. So it's not like a surprise, but I had my bottom surgery finally. And air horn. It went well. So
bottom surgery.
DJ bottom surgery. And so we you were there. You were right there with me. No, so we had, I went in for surgery on the 24th, and like, there was a lot of prep that happened. So I did buy a ton of SpaghettiOs. I bought, I think, 2 dozen cans of SpaghettiOs and I think a dozen of beef stew, like the Dinty Moore canned beef stew that looks like dog food. But we ate that as children over rice, and oh my God, it's still good. A little fresh black pepper on there. You got yourself a stew, baby. Anyways, RIP to Carl Weathers. But he died recently. That was his whole thing in Arrested Development. Who is that? He's the black arm in the meme where they're clasping arms. Are you going to, you got to look at, because I'm upset with you for not knowing Carl Weathers. This time it's justified. Becca's going to crochet while I talk, which means she's only going to be half listening. This is what
I'm
she
listening.
Does.
I'm listening. What
Anyways,
do you want from me?
I also made 36 individual frozen portions of food so that I was ready for the fallout. Because everything you read about the recovery is like, you're not going to be able to walk. You're just going to be in bed. It's going to be terrible. I'm like, that's weird because the instructions say to walk a whole lot. But okay.
The instructions that came with your.
Yeah, with the new vagina, they're like, yeah, just go ahead and do a lot of walking. No, so.
Instruction manual.
I went in for surgery very early on the 24th, like too fucking early. I think I was up at 3:30 in the morning. And obviously, I slept really well the night before. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, super chill. Super chill, relaxing. Super chill.
Yeah, Chris was here. I wasn't like still trying to finish making food and prep the apartment. There weren't like half a dozen things that I needed to get done that I didn't get done. That's all. It was all good.
It feels like you're being sarcastic a little bit.
Me? No, I would never do that. So I went in early. I got a lot of compliments on my tattoos, which I always like.
Oh my God.
And Chris was able to hang out with me while they were getting me prepped. I convinced them not to give me gabapentin, which is what they gave me when I did my face surgery, because that low-key made me want to die in like a really passive way. Like, I don't know.
Hey, barkeep.
I could die. That'd be okay. And so I asked them not to do that this time. And so they gave me a different drug, which was good. But that's for nerve pain, which, as you'll hear as we go through this, you know, there's a lot of nerve pain. So
a lot of emotional pain.
Yeah. Like, I really went through it. No, so I obviously, I don't remember the surgery. I was mostly asleep for that. You know, they wheeled me in. I remember them shifting me from the gurney or whatever, like the wheeled bed.
The bed.
Yeah. Over to the operating table. And then I was out. But I'm certain I was telling jokes the whole time because I know that's what I do. And people welcome that, I'm sure.
Even when you were under? No. Just like as you were going under.
Yeah, no. As I was under, I was like, hey, remove these nuts. And then, you know, they laughed.
We all had a good laugh.
Yeah, everyone just walked out of there with a smile. And that was my goal for my surgery. But I'm told the surgery went well. So I wake up in the PACU, of course, and I'm coming off the anesthesia. And I took a picture of the little button I had because it was green, and I sent it. I don't think I sent it to the group chat. I think I must have sent it to Chris or somebody, but I said, this button dispenses Mountain Dew. And that was how, I don't remember who it was, I'll have to look, but that was how I notified someone that I had survived. My initial plan, but I forgot because I was on a lot of drugs, was to message the group chat and be like, I don't know what happened, but I got two dicks now. Something went wrong.
Something. No, I think you just texted us, I lived, bitch.
I lived, bitch. There's certainly a picture of me giving a thumbs up, looking completely, like, fucked up. I was on so many drugs. I hadn't slept. I mean, I slept because I was on drugs. But anyway, so then I spent a week in the hospital. And I'd never been inpatient before, so that was interesting. It was all done at Stanford. The surgeons at Stanford, all my healthcare is through Stanford because of work. And the pain levels were very low. Like, I wasn't in very much pain. And that was even once they took me off of the Mountain Dew dispenser and put me on, like, just over-the-counter stuff. Because all I've had is ibuprofen and acetaminophen kind of rotating back and forth. And then Lyrica is the nerve pain medicine that I take. So it's nothing crazy. Let me tell you the worst part that I just remembered. The day before, I had to drink a whole Gatorade with 285 milligrams of Miralax because I had to do a cleanse. The day before you do it, you have to do a cleanse because they're poking around in your bowels. They're near your bowels, I guess. But at any rate, I don't drink Gatorade. I don't like
you don't drink anything waters. Other than water and Coca-Cola.
Yeah, and like I'll have orange juice occasionally with lots of pulp. I will have wine. I will have, you know, a gin and tonic or a margarita or something. I'll have mixed drinks, but I don't drink sports drinks. I don't like fizzy water. I don't like any of that shit. I just want water. If I'm drinking something casually, it's a Coke or it's water. And the worst part was not the shitting that followed, which honestly was pretty mild. The worst part was drinking the Gatorade with this powder in it. It was awful. I was dying. I was so upset. I was so uncomfortable. Because
it wasn't just Gatorade. It was like Gatorade with a laxative powder. There was a
denseness to it because the powder dissolves, but it changed the texture. And I'm a big texture person, as we've discussed. And
that's like if you ever use, what's it called? The orange powder that's for like, it's for fiber, Metamucil.
Yeah.
If you don't drink it quick enough, it turns into sludge. Like, you have to chug it immediately or else it will turn into sludge.
It took an hour and a half to 2 hours to drink that. And it was awful.
No. Yeah, you got to chug it because otherwise, because that's what it's doing in your body, is turning into sludge to push all the stuff out.
I don't like it. It was bad. So just be prepared for that if you go in for a surgery, I guess, in your colon area, because they make you drink Gatorade. And I know why they wanted Gatorade, is because you need the electrolytes and that shit. I get it.
Yeah.
But it was terrible. And I think it was too sugary. At any rate, so I had to do that before. But then once you're in the hospital, you don't poop for a week. And you'd think that would be uncomfortable, but it wasn't. The reason you don't is because there's packing inside of the new vagina, and so it puts pressure on parts that kind of stop you from pooping. The food was surprisingly good. All of the nurses were super chill. Like, there's a couple I'm like, nice. I would just hang out. Like, we could be friends. It wouldn't be weird because nice. You've seen what I got going on down there, as Mary Lynch puts it. But, like... It was not a bad stay. I was happy. Like, the somebody, either my doctor or the doctor's staff came by every morning to check in on me. I felt very taken care of, so that was good. The only time there was pain is when she removed the packing, and I don't know how to describe it except like razor wire being dragged across my genitals. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm, it was mm-hmm, awful. Mm-hmm. It was quick, like it was a couple of quick feelings of that, but oh my God, that was terrible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once that happened, you know, things got better. But in the hospital, I played some Switch. I was on my iPad a lot. Becca and I talked a couple times. Chris came out a couple nights after work, which was nice to have them there. But I felt bad because I've been super moody, and it started because for a month before the surgery, I could only have one milligram of estrogen a day, and I normally have five. And then for the week, the day of and week after the surgery, I couldn't have any estrogen. So I literally just have been, I was on my period for like 2 months, basically.
You're just PMSing.
Yeah, like it was straight. Terrible. It was terrible.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
I get it.
I know. Well, I've been saying that you and Jen are both like, ha, 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 now you know. And I was like, it's a little bit different.
It's not ha, ha. It's more different. Just like, I understand the hormonal moodiness is often brushed off as like, well, you're being crazy, and it's like, no, it really changes your brain.
Yeah,
in a very real way.
Yeah,
like it can be really devastating. And so it was not a ha ha, now you get it. It was more of a like, no, believe me, anyone born with a uterus can relate to what you are experiencing
right so now. that wasn't great. Yeah. And I've had to apologize to Chris a bunch, because I'm like, this was upsetting to me, or I'm angry about this, or like something. And I'm like, I know that these things don't matter, but this is what I'm feeling, and I'm just telling you so that I can be like, I'm sorry for my bad mood. So I feel bad because they did that. But so after the surgery, like, I went home after a week, and we went right to lunch because we were discharged a little bit earlier, but I had a follow-up appointment that day. So we went right to lunch. I had a very good sandwich, and then went to learn how to dilate. And dilation is when you medically penetrate yourself. It's not sexy in any way. I described it to a friend earlier as the least sexy way to have something inside of you.
I'm excited for my mom to listen to this one.
Yeah, this is gonna open a lot of eyes for Mary Lynch. We should have her on next, and it's just a reaction to hearing about this. Mary, that's our new channel, is Mary Lynch Reacts. She's going, oh my god.
Oh my Guys, god.
Come on.
But
so essentially 3 times a day right now until mid-April, when I go down to 2 times a day, I have to, for 20 minutes, stick a thing in me and just let it sit there, and I have to apply gentle pressure. And so
hot.
Yeah, I know. If you're getting turned on by this, one, pervert, two, call me. anyways, that It's not fun, but like what I do is I've taken, so if you ever saw me and Becca play music live, which some of you have, we have these things that clip our iPads onto our mic stands so that we have all our lyrics.
I was about to say, how is this tying to you,
I'm explaining that. Wow.
All right.
I barely interrupted you more than 10 times, and you've already interrupted me 3 times.
Okay.
No.
I'll go back to my crocheting.
Thank you. A quiet Becca is a safe Becca, because then I don't have to yell. So I have my music stand next to my bed with that iPad holder on it so that I can just kind of spin it towards me when I'm doing my business, as I refer to it. And I just watch stuff on my iPad. So I watched All of the Bear again. I watched, For All Mankind. I watched all of that. Great show. You should all watch it. Now I've been watching some YouTube stuff. There's a lot of British guys that want to tell me about GoldenEye and Zelda, and that's always relaxing, I guess. So that's been fine, but it's tedious. Like, it's difficult to fit one in before work. Then I have to do one right after work and then one before bed. And so when it goes down to 2 a day, it's going to be easier because I have more flexibility. Maybe I do one before work and then one at bed. Maybe I do one just before dinner and then one at bed. I don't know. But that was all going fine. I did have a little bit of excess pain in my second week home. And we just upped my nerve meds and that fixed it. But then the last couple days, there's been some extra bleeding where there shouldn't be bleeding. And so I actually have to go in. We're recording this Tuesday night. I have to go in Thursday morning so they can poke at it. And my fear is that some of the skin that was kind of repositioned is separating in a way it's not supposed to. And so not sure how that gets fixed. But if there are any complications that slow down my recovery time or keep me from playing drums, as like, because my 6-week appointment is on the 7th, and that's supposed to clear me for playing drums and riding the Vespa, which if you know me, you know those are 2 things that I love, and if I don't do them, I'm just crying most of the time, and I haven't been able to do them since the surgery, and I'm losing it. So
you've been crying most of the time is what you're saying.
Yes. And so I was crying about it, and like, I just want to do my stuff, okay? Like, I love doing those things. So like, I gotta I'm not really crying.
You're full of shit.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. Thanks, Miralax.
Hey.
I have to stay on a laxative because the pain kills.
Our new sponsor.
Miralax. When you're so full of shit that you're on the unholy pod, Miralax. I have to continue to take a laxative because when you're on in a large amount of like acetaminophen and ibuprofen, it fucks with your ability to use the bathroom.
Plugs you up.
So. What I've learned is I've got to manage that because if I have too much, there's lots of shit. And if I don't have enough, there's not enough shitting happening. I've woken up twice because of pain in like my stomach. And I'm like, this is not ideal. So it's a delicate balance here. But I mean, otherwise, the recovery has honestly been a lot easier than I thought it would be. Chris only stayed for really like 2 or 3 days. And in all honesty, I could have gotten away with being on my own, except that I needed them to lift. I'm on a lifting restriction of 10 pounds for another 2 weeks. So that, just another week, actually. So that was tricky. Like, I couldn't go up and down stairs easily. I couldn't walk very far. But now, a couple weeks in, like, I went back to work last Monday, which was only 3 weeks in versus waiting the full, I had 7 weeks off was scheduled, but I was just so bored. Like, I was laying around. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing anything. And it's not that I couldn't, I don't have the brain fog that I did when I was on the gabapentin, but it just, I had no motivation. Like, nothing felt important. The things I wanted to do. Like, I could have, I've got my bass set up. I could play bass. I could play guitar because it's light enough for me to play guitar, even with the lifting restriction. But it just, it felt so rudderless, and I was like, okay, I got to get some purpose going here. And so I went back to work, which has been good. Work's been complicated. We have layoffs. I'm doing a new team, but, you know, Becca and I are still safe for now. I've been helping Becca do stuff, which has been fun. But otherwise, yeah, that was my big news, was I did the surgery. So for those of you who...
did surgery on a grape?
Well, it's a little bit bigger than a grape. I'll tell you what. 2 grapes.
Okay.
Anyways, for those of you who like to wonder about my genitals, now you know. Now you're filled in. Just like I can be filled in. All right, let's take our break.
Oh my God.
Back. None of you get to penetrate me, to be clear, those of you listening. That's not what this podcast is about. That was medical information I shared with you in confidence. Don't go spreading it around the internet.
Or me, to be clear. Well, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that.
We'll see how it goes. It's still early in the episode. We haven't done any stories
yet. My mom listens.
Okay. We've said a lot worse stuff on this podcast than that. Is there anything else to cover? I mean, I know, like, other things have happened, but those were so massive that, like, we just devoted about 40 minutes to those two things. U of M won the football. I watched it. I was invested this year. And now that so much of the coaching staff has left, I'm like, I don't ever have to pay attention again. I paid attention to the best year, and now I'm done. No more football. The Red Wings are doing well. That makes me happy.
I was out with friends and this weekend, and it was like one of those things where one of the people in the group brought her roommates and one of the roommates brought his buddy. And this guy was like the embodiment of somebody with short guy syndrome. Not even saying that to like make fun of short men.
I feel like that calling it short guy syndrome, though.
Okay. The energy of a man who, like, needs to be the loudest one and needs to interrupt you and needs to win the argument no matter what it's about. Like,
oh, so he's just a man.
Will not accept being wrong. So he starts to try to get a rise out of me by, like, somebody mentioned Michigan. And he's like, oh, you mean the cheaters? And I was, like, several drinks in at this point. And I was just like, some of my friends look over at me, like, expecting me to react. And I'm like, I literally couldn't care less about what he has to say about this. I look over at him and I'm like, your opinion means so little to me that you could say anything you want and I will have no reaction. And I think that was the worst thing I possibly could have said to him.
Did that make him go more? Like, did he go harder?
No, he shut up because it was just like, I was like, literally just go off. Like, you can say whatever you want. I don't care about your opinion. I literally, like, nothing you can say will change the fact that we won a championship. So I really don't care what you think.
I think,
anyway,
I once, how did I describe it? I said, I don't care enough about you for what you say to hurt me. Like, so
that was essentially what I said. I was like, you're nobody to me. Your opinion means nothing.
Nice. That was funny.
The energy.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It was good.
What
else has happened? Nothing.
Yeah. No, can't think of anything going on in the world really.
No, nothing good.
Yeah, no, things are generally very bad, and I deal with that every day by saying, I don't know, I think it's time for our society to end, which, you know, people don't like. They don't like to hear that, but it just feels like we've done it. We're okay. We can stop now.
Do you consider that if society ends, you won't have any of your things?
No, I'll still have my things until I die.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Or they will be taken in the fires.
The fires of Mount Doom?
The very same.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you're rethinking your stance now, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess society can keep going. Please, more capitalism. Here's the thing that's happening that I don't like. Wendy's is going to do surge pricing, which is fucking crazy because... And a lot of people have said this. I'm not the first to say this. But, like, they're going to do surge pricing for their food. But are their employees making more when it's busy? No, of course not.
Of course not.
And even that would be a slippery slope because you know what they do then is pay them less when it, Like, they'd have a base salary with this is the expected amount of traffic. If it's less, you get paid less. If it's more, you get paid more. Like, it's garbage. I guess that's closer to tipped workers, except probably worse.
Well, I was going to say, right. That's, I mean, when you work in a tipped restaurant, you effectively get paid surge pay, right? If it's busier, you make more. If it's not busy, you're making $2.35 an hour.
I just feel like people should just have a living wage and housing. And if you ask me how to pay for it, I'm going to say,
I don't fucking care right now.
I know. Like, what am I on? It's all these drugs I'm taking. They've really woke me up. Yeah,
you're actually hysterical.
No.
You're hysterical.
You know what? Yeah, now that I have a vagina, I can be hysterical.
Yeah, we were having a conversation yesterday about, like, streaming platforms for music, because I've always used Spotify. I've used Spotify for over a decade, and so it just has that history built in and the algorithm and all that. But I have been using Apple Music for the last couple months, and I just hate it. When you're so used to one interface, like, something so different. Apple Music is very different. It just feels so wrong. And I was like, man, I just want to go back to Spotify. And Jess was like, yeah, but they have Joe Rogan. And then I sent her an article, and it's like, Apple Music allows Joe Rogan back on their, or Apple allows Joe Rogan back on their podcast platform. And I was like, look, it's actually all bad. It's all wrong.
The difference to me, though, is that Apple's not paying him for exclusivity. Like, Spotify invested in him. Like, I agree we need to deplatform these people, but at the same time, it's less bad, right? That they weren't like, here's money to be on our platform. Sure. There's so much in the world. But then it was like, what?
Then it was like, okay, then it was like, Apple's given way more money to Republicans in 2024 than Spotify's given no money to Republicans and a bunch of money to Democrats. Like, that's all open. It was just like, there's actually no good, you can't.
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism, as I think.
Right. I mean, there's like, you can do your best to make good choices. I think, like, environmentally, I think, you know, you can do what you can with your own money and all that. But
there's always a rich person out there who's going to do worse stuff with all of the money they have. I honestly approach most things as like, what is the least bad option here? It's just that's all that is left to us is what is the least bad option.
Right.
You know, I don't have a lot of hope for the future, and low-key, I think we've got another 30 to 40 years in us before someone finally pulls that nuclear trigger. Anyways, what's our first story?
I have hope in the I think the younger generations, I think, are a lot more aware than any.
Oh, they're woke? They're like, woke, Becca? That's what you're supporting now on this podcast?
I think social media is really a double-edged sword. I think there's a lot of negative mental health elements that come from it, especially when the world is falling apart. Like, we are not meant to know this much. We are not meant watch a war unfold. We are not meant to witness genocide every day while we drink our coffee. Like, this is just not how our brains are wired to function. But I do think that it is bringing to light a lot of injustice. And I do think that the generation that's coming up is, my opinion anyway, is that they are a lot more compassionate, and we're not seeing anymore this trend of, like, as people get older, they get more conservative. That is actually dropping off.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And so that gives me hope a little bit. I think, like, there's good shit happening locally. Denver is doing a lot of really good stuff locally. I think, like, that's kind of where I'm narrowing my scope to, is, like, what can I do within this little area that I live.
And I think a lot of people should be looking that way, because the coming climate disaster is only going to leave us with small pockets of humanity.
Right.
And so focus local.
Anyway.
It's a good episode.
This has been so fun.
Is this a new season? Like, do we feel like this is the start of a new season or the end of the last one?
I think it has to be. It has to be the start of a new season. Season 3.
So the last episode is retroactively the end of season 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Great.
We didn't realize we were going to take a 3-month break, but we did.
I kind of knew. I had a feeling.
Should we do some silly posts?
I think you start. Just... classically, okay. You usually do the first one.
All right. Let's see. I picked 3. Maybe we'll each do one and we'll call it good. This is I just read the title here and thought this sounded interesting. It has a lot of upvotes. Am I the asshole for telling my son's girlfriend to break up with him? I like the energy. All
right. Yeah, right.
My female 41, son, male 20, has been in a relationship with his girlfriend, Lily, 20, for about 3 years now. I like how we got the girlfriend's name and not the son's name.
His name is Son.
I love my son, and I hate to say this, but he has not turned out to be a good person.
Is this Alex's mom?
He has not turned out to be a good
person. We tried, but...
He has very little work ethic. He has no desire to go get a job or go to college and spends most of his time gaming or partying. Well, it sounds like you didn't really parent him.
That's what I was going to say, is how much of this is your fault?
He's 20. Like, if you give him the option to just party and go out and game, then that's what he's going to do. Like,
he can't even drink. He's only 20. No one drinks before they're 21, unless they're French.
Could you imagine? Lily, on the other hand, is the polar opposite. She's very studious, has aspirations to be a doctor, is a very good swimmer, and is currently away at college. Okay, yeah, she does need to break up with him. When my son and Lily first got together in high school, they were an excellent match. We loved having Lily over, and my son definitely took more care of himself. Since then, it has rapidly deteriorated. I know my son still loves Lily, but he never gives her the attention she deserves, and with her clear potential, I just feel she deserves better. When Lily came to visit a few days ago, she was visibly upset. When my son went to the store, I asked her if she was okay. She told me she didn't know what to do and wondered why my son had such little ambition and was so lazy. I told her I didn't see it changing anytime soon, as that's my view given it's been ongoing for almost 2 years. When she asked what I would do in her situation, I told her to put herself first and what she wanted. Lily thanked me and said she'd think about things. Well, earlier today, my son comes downstairs in a rage, telling me Lily had broken up with him via text. Ooh, that is cold. It sounds like they've been together for several years. I asked him what she said, and apparently the message referred to, quote, discussions with your mom that had made her rethink the relationship. My son was livid that I'd gotten involved and said I'd overstepped boundaries. I told him that I didn't advise Lily to leave him. I just said she had to make her own choices and decide what was best for her. My son is now not talking to me, and my husband is annoyed, believing that having no Lily will make my son's rut last even longer. I also miss having Lily around. So am I the asshole? No, you saved that girl's life.
But I, on some level, I still wonder, like, what have they done to try to, like, you know, he's an adult now, right? But what else went on that this is the outcome of that? I don't think she's the asshole for telling Lily to do that.
No. It sounds like he lives with them. Like, why are you letting him live with you if he's being a deadbeat? Like, I feel like this is a big thing. I've seen this with my parents' friends' kids of, like, they just keep living at home and then they don't get a job. They don't do anything because they don't have to do anything. This is so funny. There's this comedian that I love, Taylor Tomlinson, and she has this bit about the same thing happening where she's like getting lunch with a boyfriend's mom, and the mom says, you know, my son is a lot like his father, and if I could go back in time, I don't know if I would marry his father again.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, this woman's saving my life in a Panera Bread right now.
So there's a comment further down. There's nothing else from the poster, but someone says, you're the attitude for your attitude towards your son. Having no work ethic or ambition does not make him a bad person. Most likely he's depressed or even neurodivergent. Have you considered maybe being more encouraging? And I guess that is another way to think of it, is like, is there something going on that he is in that spot? But I don't think that makes her the asshole regardless.
It doesn't make it the girlfriend's problem.
Yeah, like, she has to decide if she can, I don't know, be there or whatever. Like, it can be difficult when someone is struggling in that way, especially if they're not, I don't know, able to get out of that. Especially at that age, that's so young.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like that, like she said, the mom didn't come in and be like, you should break up with him. I think it sounds like what the mom said was, assume he's never going to change. Is this what you want? Like, you gotta assume how he's showing up as he is. This is who he is. This is how he's
showing you
who
he is.
In some ways, I think the dad's position is really shitty for being like, he's just going to get more depressed. I'm like, A, that's not Lily's problem to be like, oh, if I leave him, he's going to get sadder. Like, that's never your problem.
He's already pretty sad.
And B, maybe he will be motivated to get his fucking shit together if he doesn't have this amazing girlfriend who's there, right? Like, he probably took it for granted.
Yeah, I mean, if he is just not caring, like if there's nothing mentally going on there and he's just kind of lazy or whatever, I mean, he's entitled right. to that, but maybe he will hit some sort of rock bottom and be like, wow, I really should fix this shit I'm in. Like, but if he is something where maybe he's got depression, it's like, you should be talking to him about that as his parents. Like,
yeah.
On some level, there's some, I feel like there's some enabling going on by them.
They are definitely enabling it.
The mom sounds resigned. Like, well, he's just like this. It's like, okay, but have you talked about it? Because there's no indication of that in the post of like, we've talked with him and he, you know, we've discovered there is this problem or that problem. Or we've talked to him and he's got this no problem. Like, what work have we done to try to help and fix this situation? Because it's not Lily's job. I do think it might be the parents' job here.
Yeah, I don't think you were wrong for having that talk with Lily. I do think your parenting seems off.
It is a mix of people saying not the asshole and yes, the asshole.
Yeah, it's a controversial
one. I don't think she's the asshole, though. I really don't. I think she...
No.
All she did was give advice to someone she cares about that you need to take care of yourself. And I don't ultimately see anything wrong
with that. I think it... If she had removed her son from the picture and were giving this advice as a third party, you'd give the same advice. You'd say you got to take care of yourself and figure out what you...
Yeah.
Because what's the alternative? If it's not like she went out of her way to do this. The girl came to her and said, he has no ambition. I feel like he's never going to change. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, anybody would give that advice. Like, you got to look out for yourself. You're 20. You got it. You're so young. 20 is so young. Like... Do not get tied down by this guy. Like, if he's not keeping up with you, you gotta cut him loose. Yeah, I think it's good advice. I don't think you're the asshole for giving that advice. I do think you will be the asshole if you continue to enable your shitty son.
Yeah. Well, or maybe not shitty son, but, like, maybe son that needs help. Like, you...
If you do not parent your child.
Yeah, if you're not going through that. And there's the argument that 18's an adult. But I'm like, the way society runs these days is...
Right.
You know, we all need a little help every now and then. Except for me. I'm going to read the next one. And it's called, Am I the Asshole for Calling Someone Insufferable in Front of Our Friends? This one actually hits pretty close to home for me because I am friends with Becca. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you're insufferable.
No, I would know if I was insufferable. I'm not, to be clear. There is someone in my friend group, quote, Marie, who I consider more of an acquaintance. To be honest, I would not be friends with her on my own, but she is friends with my other friends, so I'm cordial. Marie is very insecure and has thanked us several times for, quote, putting up with her and letting her be herself, because apparently she has cycled through several friend groups already since moving here a few years ago. Unfortunately,
I know people like that.
I can see why. For how insecure she is, she also thinks she's the smartest person in the room at all times and is always interrupting people if she thinks she can share a fun fact that makes her look smart, even if it means correcting someone on a joke. It feels like she is constantly nitpicking, and often she will dig in her heels and argue about something that she turns out to be wrong about. She's also very touchy-feely and likes to give hugs where she basically drapes her whole body over yours, and she gets upset when I am not, in parentheses, ever, in the mood for one of those hugs. We all got together for a meal this weekend, and my entree was a bit spicy. I said I was going to pour myself a glass of water, and Maria starts loudly saying, quote, no, don't drink water. Water is actually useless for spice. Drink a glass of milk instead. That part is true. And then starts going on about a long explanation of why milk was better for spice than water. She absolutely bulldozed over another friend who was in the middle of speaking to say all of this, too. I told her that water would be fine, and could she please just chill? Marie just wouldn't drop it and kept saying that milk was better and water wasn't helping for spice. I'm over here like, I didn't eat a ghost pepper or anything. It's like a 3 out of 10. Can you fucking relax? At this point, a couple of other people are telling her to just let me drink water. And she's starting to dig in her heels about how it's objectively better to drink milk with spicy food. And I finally snap at her and say, oh God, would you drop it already? You complain about how no one likes you for very long, and then you turn around and act fucking insufferable. Just shut up about the milk. I don't care. Shut up about the milk.
There's the title.
I would never jeopardize the milk. She breaks down crying pretty much on the spot, and the clamor of some people to comfort her and others to be like, I mean, that was harsh but true, pretty much derailed the whole gathering. Marie said through another friend that she is not going to speak another word to me until I apologize. Our other friends are pretty torn, and some are saying that it was too harsh because she's younger than the rest of us, though we're all in our 20s. I'm willing to apologize, but I don't think I'm the only one who did anything wrong here.
No, this is great.
It says it was not in public. It was just at a friend's house. Someone clearly asked if the water helped, and they said, for the record, I drank a glass of water and it took the edge off the spiciness exactly how I was intending. And let's see. They also say, I'm not going to comment on anything regarding mental stuff because she's never mentioned having anything to any of us. It's not my place to give an armchair diagnosis. It's just annoying to me that she's the one who's angry when she had four people telling her to stop.
I know someone like this who is a ex roommate of a friend, and it's the same energy.
I know who you're talking about.
It is everyone else's fault that nobody likes me. It is the world's fault that I can't keep friends, and it is because she has done the same thing where she's just like rotates through inconsistent.
You have done that yourself.
And it is because, like, even was in our friend group for a bit just by proximity of, like, your roommates with this person. So we will invite you to hang out. And it was, like, after three or four times of that, it was like, yeah, that's enough. No, thank you. It's just the worst type of person around because it's that victim mentality of, like, I'm going to keep digging my heels in, but I will not take any feedback for my behavior.
We are not requesting feedback at this time, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm going to continue to be an asshole.
Frustrating, like, because I think that compounds too. As it keeps happening, you start going, "Oh, I guess no one wants to be around me." You become that person that's like, you're looking for validation by saying the thing that you're afraid of, and then people are like, "Wow, I don't want to be around you because that's all you talk about."
Because you just talk about being the victim and being a martyr, and it's like eventually you make it true by manifesting that.
Yeah,
it gets exhausting to be around people like that.
I think it's hard for them to break out of, though, too. Like, to be fair, once you're in that place, it is hard.
You got to start over.
To convince yourself, like, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. Fully. Yeah.
Move to a new city and fully start over.
So I don't think this person is the asshole. I think they...
Maybe didn't go about it in a kind way.
Yeah, I mean, I would have just blown her off and been like, okay, I'm lactose intolerant. And then also I would have taken a big bite of cheese or something just to be like, fuck you.
It sounds like that was the approach. It was just like, whatever, I'm just going to drink water.
And but she wouldn't drop it.
If we're believing the poster, then yeah, it was Marie who was like, no, you have to have milk for spice. And she's like, it's really not that spicy. I want to drink water. And she's like, no, you have to have milk. Shut up about the milk.
Yeah, so I don't think. The asshole. I think that person needs to figure out her life. Marie
needs maybe a little bit of therapy.
Should we? Let's call her. Hi. We're the Unholy Pod.
To our second sponsor of the night.
Therapy.
Talk Space.
If you need space to talk, we've got that space at Talk Space. Use code TALK to get space for talking.
Talk Space. Fucking sponsoring this podcast where we just talk about the most unhinged things.
I think we could take any sponsor at this point. Like not obviously not bad ones, only good sponsors.
To be honest, I had therapy last week and my therapist told me I was doing a really good job at life. So
see, I had therapy last week and my therapist said, my therapist, my doctor, and my physical trainer have all said you're recovering from this way better than most people do. And they said better than most people do. And I was like, oh my God, I am perfect in every way.
I am amazing.
I'm just glad to have external validation. And honestly, I wouldn't necessarily think much of it, except all three of you said it, so it must be true. Though my doctor did also ask me, like, have you had that moment of, like, he didn't say, but I'm reading as, like, epiphany, like, I did it, that it's done. Because this is, like, in a way, this is an endpoint for me in terms of, like, transition. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't think I do that. I'm like, my friends and I have made it such a joke that the wonder of it, I guess, beyond, like, the science of what can be done is kind of lost for me. I'm like, whatever. This was a thing I planned to do. It has been done, and now I'm recovering, which I also plan to be doing. And I'm like, I don't think I react to a lot of stuff with that sense of, wow, I fucking did it. And so he asked me, are you avoiding that? I was like, I don't think I am, but I'll ponder on it just in case. But I'm like, I don't, I'm pretty low key when I process stuff. There's the only time I've ever really had that moment of true wonder and joy at life was when I caught that piece of trash that was floating at the baseball game in Denver. And I just was so happy. I've never been happier in my life. Becca has a video of me and like, the joy in my voice, I was like, I caught it. I was so happy.
We were at a baseball game in Denver, and there was a plastic bag floating in the air. And I'm filming it because the crowd had been watching it for like a couple minutes because it was just like floating above us in the wind. And I'm filming it, and I'm just going, do you ever feel? Do you ever feel? Do you ever feel? And it slowly, as I'm filming, floats down and lands right in Jess's hands. And she just goes, I caught it. This is truly like the happiest you've ever been.
It was a moment of pure joy. I was so really good. Happy because it was such as like we had been at Stoney's eating dinner and watching the game on TV. I was like, hey, that's down the street. We could just go to that.
That was a really fun night. Yeah, because we were eating dinner and we saw the game and we're like, should we just buy tickets?
And like, go to the game. It was really funny. But that moment of catching it, I don't know why, but that just felt like, oh my gosh, I've done it. But for whatever reason, with this surgery, there's none of that feeling of like, I did it. And I don't know, maybe it's because I didn't do the surgery on myself. If I had surgery to myself, I'd feel more connected to it. But as it is, you know, I was just there. They could have done that on anybody. It wasn't me. I wasn't special. I'm never special.
Boom, all right, on that note. Boom, 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 boom.
So,
all right, well,
something we were talking about before we started recording, just for the listeners, because we didn't talk about it with them yet, is we might start doing video versions of this where I capture video of us doing the recording here, and then I edit it with that. And so we could put it on YouTube, and Becca said we could put it in little reels on the old Instagram, because all we do all day is send each other reels now. It's the basis of our friendship and the only connection we have in this world. So, you know.
We get some pretty good ones, though. The algorithm,
It do be algorithm. Like, it's so chaotic. The stuff I get, like, I appreciate how tuned that has become to me, because they're like, oh, you really like 9/11 jokes. And I'm like, I don't like them, but like, yeah, show them to me. And then I send them to Becca, and she says, we're going to hell. And then I tell her, God isn't real. When you die, you're dead. And then we laugh. But anyways, we might start recording stuff. So just keep an eye out for that. I'm sure we'll tell you where to follow if you want to. Or you can tell us. I don't know. We're not on Blue Sky. We're still on Twitter. God, I hate Twitter.
It's bad. We're on Blue Sky. Maybe we'll make a Blue Sky for the...
Yeah, that's right. There's no invites anymore.
I really like. I can't get fucking followers on Blue Sky to save my life. It's very hard to like find all your Twitter mutuals over there. They don't make it easy.
Yeah, there was a tool early on that let you search by like username, so it'd be username.social.bluesky or whatever. But like,
it's hard.
It didn't. It's if someone else took the username that of someone you were following, like if someone else had Becca Lunch or whatever, then I would just be following that person. Because there's at least one person that happened where I'm like, I don't know who this is at all. So it's not ideal. I don't know. I don't know what people do these days to kind of share their stuff out. Instagram, maybe?
Yeah, we'll do Instagram.
Because with the videos, we can put little clips. Yeah, I'm not going to install that. with the little clips, we could put them as videos on there, which I think would be easy.
Yeah.
Although I do also, I feel like if we put them on YouTube, it has that auto transcribe that might allow us to, like, I feel like it's difficult for us to do captioning for this or a transcript because of we talk over each other. Like, yeah. It's not scripted in any way. So it's, we yeah. have to go through and type the whole thing out, which we don't do right now. And
yeah, YouTube would can auto generate pretty good stuff. At that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we well, can great. Try that. Great. Well, that's our episode. Great. If you've got feedback, go ahead and shove it up your folks, ass. We don't yeah. really care. This is mostly for us. All your fancy jewelry? I'll put it right, up, put my it right ass. Up my ass. Becca and I communicate mostly in SNL clips, but not the whole sketch. We only know the parts of it that are in the highlight reels. And so...
Would you like an ooey, gooey, cheesy quesadilla?
We talk sometimes about if someone heard our conversations, they would think that there was something so wrong with us. So when Becca was here in San Francisco, we were sitting, and what did you had?
I got Panera. Panera, because I wanted the lemonade. I got Panera delivered from Oakland. The lemonade that kills you. I got the lemonade that kills you delivered from Oakland. I tipped fat. I just really wanted it, and I didn't have a car with me. And so I wasn't going to drive to Oakland in your car. I would much rather tip somebody $25 to bring it to me. So then the person was like so nice. They just seemed confused that I just ordered Panera across the fucking Bay Bridge.
There's no Panera in the city anymore. You have to go to Daly City.
It was a U-Pick 2 and a cookie and two lemonades.
Becca got
I got the sugar-free one. And I got the regular one, both of the lemonades that kill you. I drank them both in one day. Like 8 hours later, we're at Jess's birthday dinner. And I'm like fucking vibrating. Like,
and Jess was a great day, though. I was in such a good mood.
I was in such a good mood. Oh, yeah. I was in such a good mood that whole day. Just fucking amped caffeine.
We recorded a song called Hey There Panera, which we haven't really shared out yet.
We did.
If you want to go and upload your vocals because it just needs your harmonies, we could put it in the episode. It's parody. It's free. You can do that, I believe. I don't actually know. We don't make any money from this, so what are they going to do anyway?
But so I had the soup with my U-Pick 2, and I'm eating my soup, and you just go, I go, oh my God, I love this soup. It's the chicken and wild rice soup. It's delicious. It's so good. And Jess goes, oh, soup for your family. And I go, no, ketchup for my family. She goes, oh, yes, of course. And because it was on this fucking podcast where we did the
years ago.
Back when we would
it's
do the
like
game.
3 years ago.
Back when we would do the game when one of them was, the fake one that I had made up was just, am I the asshole, ketchup for my for family.
I love that one.
But in that moment, we were like, if somebody was walking by as we were having that conversation, because it's an open office, and I was just like, I wonder what they think about what they just heard. Like, if you walked past that conversation, you'd be like, am I high right now?
Yeah, like what is going on? That was episode 6 for those of you keeping track at home. That was November 15th, 2020.
Oh my God.
I know, right? We've been doing this a long time now. It's 2024.
Too long.
Here's the thing, though, like, I know our schedule's never going to get back to normal. I don't think we'll ever go back to weekly episodes, but I enjoy this, and I enjoy hearing from people when they like it. I still can't believe the surgeon listens to this. And, like, so when we were in the hospital...
I can't believe any random people listen to this.
Yeah, anybody who we don't directly know.
Yeah.
We have had 2 listens in the last 7 days, so, you know, we're doing great. So we don't advertise this, like, really. The Twitter was the only thing, and it's weird that people find it. But I people will listen to it because they see me using my microphone in meetings. Like, my mic that I have here for podcasting is a Blue Yeti Pro, and it's mounted on my desk. And so when I take meetings at my desk at home, I'm always using this mic, which people always ask about. And then inevitably they listen, and I'm like, oh, no. You made me tell you about my podcast, and you actually listen to it? You will know me for real.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
It is funny, though, because, like, some of my team members follow me on, like, Twitter and Blue Sky, and I'm like, oh, you're going to know the chaos that I really am. Like, it's going to be bad. And then you have to respect me as a leader? Good luck.
I'm yeah, a monster. I published a Duo blog post to the blog, and they put my bio, and then they put my Twitter, which I gave to them, but I was like, it's not a work Twitter. Like, at this point, it was in the beginning. It is not. It is pure nonsense. And they linked it anyway.
They linked mine right. When I did one, too, and I told them the same thing. I was like, it's not.
This isn't real.
Yeah, I mean, it's real, but it's not work.
And yeah, I'm like, and I got people, like a bunch of new followers from that.
Yeah, I did too of mine. Some of the people who know about it too, like who asked me if I wanted on there. I'm like, you know the kind of shit I put online. You want to expose our customers to that? That you think that's good? It's not good behavior.
That is not good behavior.
Okay, we could keep going. This is we've been hanging out at night a lot, and we'll just go for hours. There are times where we're not even talking, the camera's just on, and then one of us will make a noise.
We're just hanging out.
And the other will just make the same noise back for no reason.
Yep.
I'll go. Ugh.
Usually it's a throw up sound.
Nice. All right. That's
thanks, everyone.
Thanks for coming by. Thanks for listening to our experiences and being part of our lives. We love you.
Wow. Well.